figured, would it be okay if we just kind of jumped right in today? Can we do that today? Okay, all right, good. We're just going to jump in today. So if you want to follow along, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. If you can't find Genesis, just close your Bible. No, if you can't find Genesis, if you're new to Bible study or whatever, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So just open up to the first book. Look for the big number 12. That is the chapter number. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12 today, and we're going to be talking about Abraham. Now, just as a warning so you guys know, in the verses we're going to look at today, his name on the screen is going to say Abram, okay? Abram's name is later changed to Abraham. Now, just because I'm messed up, I can never get the right one, so I will probably mix the two, and I just want you all to know up front, it's the same guy, okay? So Abraham is the same guy. All right, so you guys ready to just get started? Great, okay, that was convincing. All right, Genesis chapter 12, here we go. That's the logo for the series. Okay, cool. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Woo! That is good stuff. All right, y'all didn't go woo with me, okay? All right, we're going to try it again. I'm going to say that last line again, and afterwards I want y'all to go woo, okay? All right. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Woo! Yeah, you fakers. You didn't do it the first time. No, that's okay. That's all right. You're involved. All right, so do you get what God's saying to Abraham? He's like, dude, you are about to explode, okay? Your Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, Instagram, it is about to go absolutely crazy. He literally says, I'm going to make you famous. I mean, I think that's a pretty cool word from God when he says, I'm going to make you famous. Now, here's the cool thing, is that God does not bless people for no reason. So whenever he tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you famous, he's like, I'm not making you famous just for fame's sake, okay? This is not a Kardashian thing, okay? There's some fans in here, okay? All right, he's saying, look, there is a purpose and a reason for the fame and the blessings that I'm going to give you. All right, so when it comes to you and me, we have to understand is that God gives blessing to you so he can get a blessing through you. Okay, whenever we get blessed by God, it's not so we can just get all we can and can all we get. That's not the purpose behind it. It is so that we can be a blessing to other people. So God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you famous, and I'm going to give you a lot of blessings simply so you can be a blessing to other people. And then he continues, and he says, I will bless those who curse you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth, that's everybody, will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Is that what your Bible says? That's what my Bible says. My Bible says, and Lot went with him. Those five words right there are going to be what we're really talking about today when we're talking about an eye exam, and Lot went with him, because I see those five words and it messed me up. I'm just going to be honest. I want to know, why in the world did Lot go with Abraham? Lot is a guy, and we'll talk about him in a minute. So what we're going to be talking about today is on the basis of eye exam, the point of is that I may have a lot to get rid of. See what I did there? Yeah. All right. So just so we're all feeling this, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't make me come down there. All right. Come on. All right. Neighbor, it's possible that I could have a lot to get rid of. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, other neighbor, I love you, and Jesus loves you, but the reality is, you could have a lot to get rid of. See, some of y'all didn't even want to look at your spouse, all right, because you're like, all right, so if you just want to be blessed, just say amen. All right, there we go. All right, now we're going to figure out why in a minute. Why in the world Lot, because we got to figure out before we leave today, why in the world does Lot go with Abraham? But before we get there, we've got to understand Abraham is being called by God. God puts a calling on Abraham's life. Now, the cool thing about that is God does the same thing for you and the same thing for me. That before we were even born, God had a plan and a purpose for your life and my life. So he often, ever since the day we're born, he is calling us, trying to get us to answer the phone. And so many of us will be in here today and we'll be like, man, I just wish God would do something in my life. And here's one thing we need to get to. We need to stop waiting for God to call you. God's waiting on you and me to pick up the phone. All right. See, do you realize I'm only up here today because of a call? I mean, literally, you know, Pastor Jeff called me and said, hey, will you, you know, give the message today? And I just simply responded to the call that was given to me. Because trust me, I could have been at home, you know, getting my fix of Shark Week, okay? I haven't seen it all week. All right, but I responded to a call that was placed on me. And Abraham was the same exact thing. God called Abraham, and in our text, Abraham was just simply responding back to a call that God put on his life. And see, whenever you understand that there is a call on your life and you start living it, it changes everything about you. It changes the way you walk. It changes the way you talk. It changes the way you interact with people. Maybe it'll change the people you interact with, but it'll change absolutely everything whenever you decide to pick up the phone and say, God, I know there's a call in my life. I know you have a purpose for me, and I'm just going to follow the call that you have placed on my life. And that's what Abraham does. He just responds to the call that God puts on him. And he gets to a place where he says, I might not know where I'm going. I just know I can't stay here. And see, for you and for me today, we have to understand is that, do you realize when God calls Abraham, he had never met God before. So he's listening to a God he's never met before, going to a place he's never seen before. That takes some faith. I mean, that takes a lot of faith to just kind of leave everything you know and go to something completely different, because Abraham grew up in a society, in an arena where there were all kinds of gods, all right? They had gods for everything. They had a moon god. They had a sun god. They had a water god. They had a gaga god. I mean, they had, you name it, they had a god for everything. And it's in that kind of environment that God calls Abraham and he's like, you know what? I may not know where I'm going. I just know I can't stay where I am. And for some of us in here today, some of us, we know what God's got called on our lives. We know there should be some things we should be doing and not doing. But because we're afraid of where it may end up, we don't know what's going to happen. We're just like, no, I'm just not going to do anything. But we need to get to a place like Abraham where we say, I don't know where I'm going. I just know I can't stay here. Because Abraham's call, to me, is probably one of the greatest calls of all, because it involves all of us, right? I mean, and I think Abraham is probably in the VIP section of heaven. I mean, don't you? Because Abraham still has a song that we're singing today, doesn't he? I mean, Abraham's the only guy who still has a Billboard hit, still hitting the charts. I mean, if you've been to church one time as a kid, you know Abraham's call song. Y'all act like you don't know it. We're going to have to get vocal in here today, aren't we? Okay. All right, here we go. All right, ready? And a one, and a two, and a three. Father Abraham, come on. Had many sons. You know it. And many sons had. I'm one of them. So are you. Come on. So let's just. Yeah, that's the Abraham song. See? Yeah. Y'all know the Abraham song? So that, I mean, that's why I just think he's in the VIP section of heaven, because we are still singing songs about his call. And it was so crazy that he had to leave an environment that was all about gods to go to follow a God he never met, to a place he never knew. So check this out. He got to a place where he understood that faith generally begins when you leave a God, little g, to follow the true God, big G. So one of the questions we're going to ask in here today is, what is your little g? What are some of the gods that you have in your life that have your heart, that have your attention? And some of you will be like, come on, Steve, man, I don't have any gods in my life. But the truth is, it's still no different than it was then. There are all kinds of gods that we have today. It may be finances for you. You may be all about money, and that's all you think about. You do that more than you would, you know, read your Bible. And you're so focused about money, and money has become your god. You know, I deal a lot with students, and, you know, for some of them, it's athletics. And there's nothing wrong with athletics, but it can become your god. I mean, I can talk to a student and be like, hey, man, what's your name? He'll be like, number 44. Seriously? And I mean, and they will look at playbooks that really only have a couple of letters. Think about X's and O's or Z's now. And they will look at those things for hours, knowing where all of them go. And I'll be like, hey, man, why don't you read your Bible? Oh, man, that's boring. You got like four letters that don't even make words, and you will sink your eyes into that. So athletics can become a god to you. For some people, it might be relationships. You know, someone calls you, everything else gets put on hold. Oh, be quiet, be quiet. They're calling. Hello? Hey, baby, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Oh, girl, you crazy. No, you crazy. And you'll do that for hours. And for, oh, see, you laugh because it's true. And then for some of you young ones, you'll just be on the phone and it'll just be, nothing's happening. Just, yo, baby, you still there? Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I just want to hear you breathe. Are you serious? That relationship has become your God. There are all kinds of things that are little G's in our lives that have our hearts, that has our attention. And you got to hear this, is that God will often call you to leave little G to follow him, big G. Because what he's after is your heart. And he can't have your heart if your heart is tied up with something else. So Abraham, it gets to the point where he rolls out. And the Lord says to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. So Abraham rolls out. He don't even know where he's going. I mean, no wonder he's the father of our faith, right? I mean, how many of you know, when you don't know where you're going, you need a GPS, right? Yeah, you need a God's positioning system. That's what you need. You need a GPS when you don't know where you're going. And I love the GPS in my car. I do, because I'm a guy, and I don't know where I'm going. So I love putting in the like an address in my GPS. How many of you know, whenever you do that, sister girl in the car does not say automatically, go out of the car, go out of the parking lot, turn left, go 2 miles, turn right, go 18 miles, turn left. Then you're going to veer right. Whoa! I won't be able to remember everything. She doesn't tell me everything I need to know right up front. She gives me one step. One, and she's like, just do this thing, and then I'll give you the next one. So many of us, we get so kind of aggravated with God, where we're like, God, I wish you would just reveal what you're going to do in my life. And he's like, I can't. If you knew exactly what I was going to do in you and through you, you would blow up. You wouldn't be able to handle it. And the cool thing about a GPS is, no matter how often I disobey it, hello, you know, like it says turn right and I turn left, and it says turn right and I turn left, it says turn right again, dummy, and I turn, you know, the other way. I mean, do you realize the GPS has grace? It still has a way of saying, listen, dummy, just follow the next direction and I will get you where you're supposed to go, no matter how many wrong turns you've made. All right, maybe you didn't make the connection. God is the same way. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up, how many wrong turns you've made. He's only concerned about two things. Maybe you didn't know this. God's concerned about your current location and your destination. That's it. He's concerned about where you are right now and where he wants you to be. The purpose for your life and what he's got planned for you. That's the only things he's concerned about, where you are and where you want to be. And so many of us are in here today, and some of us are broken. And we're like, we didn't know that God could still use us because of how many wrong turns we've made. And you've got to understand, if GPSs have grace, so does our Heavenly Father. And he still has a way of getting you where he wants you to be if you would just listen to the voice on the God's positioning system. So Abraham rolls out. And Lot goes with him. Maybe y'all don't know who Lot is. Lot is Abraham's nephew. Okay? Now, if we back up, what did God say to Abraham? He said, Abraham, leave your country, okay, and your family. Why is Lot in the car? Why in the world is Lot in the car? All right, the last time I checked, nephew is still family. So Abraham, he packs up the Escalade. You know, he's got the donkeys, the camels. You know, he's got Sarah on the passenger seat. He's in the driver's seat, got everything loaded up. And in the back seat of the Escalade is this dude, Lot, wasting good space. Why is he in the car? God said, leave your country. Check. Abraham says, yes. And your family. But when it comes to that, Abraham says, oh, it must be okay for Lot to come with me. Now, we'll get to in a minute why I don't think Abraham was deliberate at disobeying. But here's something we need to understand, is that partial obedience is still disobedience. And before we point fingers at Abraham and kind of have a few laughs at Abraham, how about we do an eye exam in here today? How about we look at ourselves, trying to see ourselves more clearly? Isn't it funny how we like to treat God's commandments as suggestions? You know, we like to pick and choose which one of God's commandments we're going to follow. Yes, God, I will love my neighbor, but not the kid in school who doesn't have any swag. I got a reputation. God, you know what? I'll obey the Sabbath. I'll be in church every day, but my spouse isn't giving me everything I need, so I'll get something on the side. I mean, seriously, we treat God's commandments like suggestions all the time. And here's the thing. Whenever we do that, we have to understand, don't be surprised when you reap the consequences of your disobedience. Now, one thing we need to understand about God is that a lot of us have the view of God like he's kind of like a principle. You know, so where he will impute and he will deliver the punishment or the consequence of our disobedience. And that's not the case at all. But we think God is kind of like a principle that says, don't skip class, don't skip class, don't skip class. And then you skip class and then the principal says, you're suspended, you're expelled. That's not God. We have been invited to call God our Heavenly Father. So we should view him more as a parent, because that's what he is. And I'm a parent, so I kind of understand this. And we have two beautiful daughters, and our oldest daughter loves to cook. I mean, she's a baker. She wants to open up her own bakery. I mean, she's all into baking right now. So we're trying to teach her about the stove. And we often say, don't touch that stove. Don't touch that stove. Don't touch that stove. And if she were to reach out and touch the stove and go, ah, how many of you know my wife and I did not burn our child? All right, God is the same way. He does not impute the consequence. It's simply because his law and his word is set up so perfect. It is so flawless that when you disobey it, the consequence is just natural. It's just going to happen. He doesn't have to do anything. Now, some of you think that when you touch the stove or you disobey, that he's just going to be like, I told you. I mean, that'd be a sick parent. I mean, if my daughter burns her hand and I would say, I told you not to touch it. I mean, that's not the way God is. I would be picking my daughter up, rushing her to the hospital, making sure she's okay, making sure she's got the treatment that she needs. And God is going to do the same thing for you and for me whenever we disobey, but it does come with a consequence. Now, here's one thing I better not hear from my daughter. She got the wrap on, you know, the gel or whatever. I better not hear her talking to her friends say, yeah, Dad told me not to touch the stove. But he didn't have to leave it on to teach me a lesson. I better not hear her say that. And see, you laugh, but Christians, we will say some of the dumbest things, won't we? Well, maybe God wanted me to get pregnant in high school. That way I could show young girls that I could have a baby and still graduate top of my class. No, dummy! That's not why that happened. Now, he can still use you, yes, but he wanted you to wait until you got married. That is the truth. Or you may hear, well, maybe God wanted me to rob the bank so I could go to prison and start a prison ministry. No! That's not why that happened. He wants you to obey his word. But so often we will view God's commandments as suggestions, and then we're kind of surprised when we reap the consequences of our disobedience. So Abraham brings Lot along. And then what happens? Check this out. Whenever we disobey, disobedience always delivers drama. Every single time. For some of you in here today, there's some drama going on in your life. And if we did a CSI investigation and we traced it back, my guess is it's going to lead back to some disobedience. Some of us, we have some drama in our lives because of somebody else's disobedience. But disobedience always delivers drama. And let's see what happens in the life of Abraham and Lot. So Abraham left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev, along with his wife and Lot. Why is he in the car? And all that they had owned. Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. That's a hashtag for Abraham was a baller, all right? He had money. Abraham was well off. I mean, Abraham had it going on. Now check this out. Lot, who's not even supposed to be there, was traveling with Abraham, had also become very wealthy with flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. You check that out? He's not even supposed to be there, but because he attached himself to a blessed person, he just naturally became blessed. Kind of like we said last week, it's important who you hang out with. All right? You attach yourself to someone who's blessed, you are naturally going to become blessed. So be careful who it is you hang out with. Public service announcement. But the land could not support both Abraham and Lot, who's not supposed to be there, with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So what do we say? We said disobedience always delivers drama, and here it comes. So disputes, drama, broke out between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. And some of you know how this story ends. Abraham gets Lot, and he's like, I love you, but we have got to separate. He says, if you choose to go to the left, then I'll go to the right. And Lot, if you choose to go to the right, then I will go to the left. Now, growing up, if you ever heard this Bible story, you may have heard this with a lesson of, now, boys and girls, we should let other people choose so we can be generous just like Abraham. I don't think Abraham let Lot choose out of generosity. And it's part of the reason why, I mean, we don't know exactly why Abraham allows Lot to come along. But when you go through the family tree of Abraham, I think we see a heart issue here. And so let's kind of look at Abraham's family tree real quick. I need like four volunteer guys. I want to come up here real quick. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Come, all right, 4. All right, come on up here real quick. All right, just stand there. There we go. All right. Now, this is why I don't think Abraham let Lot choose. It's also part of the reason why I believe Abraham brought Lot with him. You see, Abraham's dad's name is Terah. I'm Terah. And he had a couple of sons. And this son, his name was Haran. And Haran had a son. And his son's name was Lot. All right, this is Lot. He had another son, all right? And this son's name was, this is no disrespect.
Okay?
All right. Cool. All right. This son's name was, you know I love you, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right, good. All right, this son's name was Nahor. See, you should read your Bible, all right? I didn't make that up, all right? So this is Nahor, all right? And then this son right here, obviously, is Abraham. Now, what we learn about the family is that Nahor gets married. Believe it or not, I know. With a name like Nahor, see, if you're single, there's hope for you, all right? So Nahor gets married and has a great life back at his seat. We then find out that Lot's dad, Haran, dies at a young age. So you see what happens? That leaves Lot without a father. And the Bible is strategic to let us know that all Abraham and Sarah ever wanted was a son. In fact, Abraham says, God, what good is all the money and the gold and the cattle and all that? What good is all of that if I don't even have a son to give it to? No wonder Lot was in the car. No wonder it was so hard for him to separate. No wonder, but see this. This is one of the most used tricks of the enemy. You see, there's nothing wrong with Lot's desire for a father. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Abraham's desire for a son. But what the problem is when you take a legitimate desire and you fulfill it the wrong way. And you see, when this happens, all of a sudden disputes, drama breaks out. Because I truly believe in my heart that Abraham thought he was doing what was right. And kind of like we learned last week, when we do what's right in our own eyes long enough, it brings out chaos. So the only reason we can assume that, wow, why was there so much craziness? Why was this not a good thing for Abraham to do? It's because it's not what God told him to do. He said, leave your country and your family. And they had to get to a point where he said, Lot, I love you, but I don't love you more than I love my God. So we have got to go. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. And check out what happens here, because this is where it comes down for you and for me, is that on the other side of your obedience is a blessing from God like you could never imagine. What seems to be, whatever your lot is that is so hard for you to get rid of, to put down and move on because you don't know what's going to be happening after that if you make that step, because of that, and you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen, I'm not going to take that step. If you realize on the other side of your obedience is a bigger blessing that you can't even imagine, God just simply wants your obedience. He wants you to listen to the GPS and the next step. And check out what happens in the story. After Lot had gone. When? After Lot had gone. You can highlight that in your Bible. After Lot had gone. Look what happens. The Lord said to Abraham, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. He's basically saying, Abraham, listen, the relationship that you think is the one, that is not the one. In fact, there's going to be a son called Isaac who's going to be your chosen child, and that's how I'm going to fulfill that desire. So don't fulfill it the wrong way. But we so often get hung up in things that are our desires, and we feel we have the right to go after them, and it leads us into disobedience. Ladies, there's nothing wrong with you having a desire to be loved, but if you have to sleep with him in order for him to say he loves you, that's an illegitimate connection. And there is a bigger blessing on the other side of your obedience if you will be obedient. And he says, I'm going to give all of this to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. So go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. Why is that? Because on the other side of your obedience, of my obedience, is a blessing that we can't even imagine how great it is. So when we're trying to see ourselves more clearly today, what's your lot? What is it that you are caught up in that when you look at it, maybe it's a little bit of partial obedience? And you're wondering why there's some drama in your life. And it's simply because God wants your obedience. He wants you to obey the next step on the GPS. Even though you have no idea where it's going to lead you, you just need to understand, and I need to understand, we just can't stay where we are. The praise team is going to come up, and they're gonna play a song. And we're just going to allow God to just use this time however he wants. Whatever he's stirring in you, just let God move in you. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to raise your hands, raise your hands. If you want to use the altar, use the altar. If you're here today and you never knew because of all your mess ups that you ever had a chance to being right with God, maybe you didn't know that. Maybe today is your day to drop the lot and realize that our Heavenly Father gave us his son Jesus to die on a cross. And that no matter how difficult it is going to be for you to get rid of your lot, he wants you to fulfill it with Jesus. And then everything will be fine. But it starts with our obedience in getting rid of a lot and just saying, God, give me the faith to trust what it is you say. I believe that your ways are good and your love is great. No matter how broken I may be, I'm going to give you my life. And I'm going to get rid of a lot. And that's available for every single one of us in here today. Hey there, you don't have to go anywhere. I tell you guys, maybe God spoke to some of us in here today about getting rid of some lots. And one of the things we love to do is just celebrate people who have realized for the first time that I've just got to follow Jesus. I got to get rid of a lot and just follow him. And if that is you today, and today was your day, and you just decided to, hey, from right now, this day forward, I'm going to follow Jesus. We just want to know who you are. We want to be able to pray for you, give you some stuff along the way, and just help you out with your journey. And we actually have a prayer booth over here that if that is you, we want you to go over there so we can just kind of give you some materials and pray for you. If that was you and today is your first day, we just put a hand up. We just want to hoot and holler and cheer for you if that's anybody. Is today your day? Yeah? Woo! Anybody over here up top? Anybody? We just want to hoot and holler. That's it. It is your day, and we are so excited about this. If this is your day, anybody over here? Anybody at all? All right. Well, if you were too nervous just to put a hand up, please do not leave today without heading over there and letting us pray for you and just kind of helping you on your journey, because it's the best decision you could have ever made. We are so glad you guys were here today. At the end of the service, we just like to raise our hands and ask God to bless us. If you would like to, we would invite you to do that now. Heavenly Father God, thank you for loving us regardless of the wrong turns we've made. Thank you for the grace that you have and the grace that you give to get us from where we are to where it is you want us to be. God, with what you've spoken today, give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it, to get rid of the lots in our lives. We thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. We will see you back next week for part 3 of Eye Exam.